Shalom, Heverim. Baruch haba lechol makshavim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, there is a question entrusted to the lips of tender youth which should be familiar in the ears of all Jewish people. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot? Why is this night different from all other nights? The very sounds of this sentence seem to take form and shape like some mythological genie of gargantuan power and proportions who, stretching out colossal arms over all barriers of time and space, yea, even of death itself, sweeps an entire people into his wordless embrace and speeds them down the unforgettable avenues of their amazing history. We see the whole earth pockmarked with the indelible footprints of the long galut as we retrace their labyrinthine pattern down the ages. Each single impression seems as if mutely imploring an answer to the enigma of Israel's strange and myriad vicissitudes. The songs and sobs of Jewish centuries punctuate our procession back down the ages, and the fingers of 3,000 years all point in the one direction and mark a clear and unmistakable highway to the one locality in all the world which will supply the answer to the child's perennial question, why is this night different from all other nights? Egypt is the answer. It cradled the birth of a nation which owed its birth to a lamb, a paschal lamb. A paschal lamb that made a limping people leap into nationhood. The Hebrew people who limped through the cruel servitude of an exacting Pharaoh were the favored recipients of a divine intervention, the magnitude of which enabled them to leap from the bonds of Egypt into the blessing of God. It is singular, yet exquisitely appropriate, that the Hebrew root Pasoch, from which the term paschal is derived, means not only to limp, but also to leap. It is equally appropriate that this Hebrew root appears for the first time in the very chapter of Scripture in which we read for the first time the dramatic record of the paschal lamb and Israel's leap to liberty. This same 12th chapter of Exodus is further distinguished because embedded in it we have the very first commandment ever given by God to Israel as a collective people. Here are the impressive words: HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim, Rishon hu lachem lochodshei hashana. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This, God's first command to Israel, left a permanent impression upon the reckoning of Jewish time, for it instituted a new calendar and affected an existing one. As we know from Scripture itself, the Exodus occurred in the month known as Abib, a word which in Hebrew means green corn in the ear. At the time of Israel's first command, the month of Abib was not the beginning of the year, as Nachmanides points out. Henceforth, however, this month, which inaugurated the freedom of Israel, was made the first month of the year, and became known as Nisan. Although the paschal lamb instituted a new beginning in the Hebrew year, yet the old reckoning lingered on, as I think somewhat prophetically, and resulted in the national acquisition of two separate year commencements or reckonings, with an interval between them of exactly half a year. The sacred reckoning was that instituted at the Exodus, denoting Abib as the first month of the year. On the other hand, the civil reckoning denoted Tishrei, the seventh month, as the first month. There is an interesting point here. If we keep biblical messianism pure by retaining it within its pristine scripture settings of both the Tanakh and the New Testament, and if, in addition, we keep our resultant scriptural conceptions free from adulteration and distortion by the spurious conjectures of Wellhausenism, we discern that the biblical messianism of the New Testament is organically related to the biblical messianism of Tanakh as the flower is to the stalk that bears it. This being so, is there any significance, typical or symbolical, in this subtle, pristine relationship of the seventh and the first? Arising out of, and indeed identical with, Israel's seventh is Israel's first. It is already an early pointer towards the arising of Messiah's believing Israelites, who, in addition to their attachment to the temple and its commemoration of the seventh day, yet advanced their gatherings for worship and fellowship to the first day of the week, as recorded clearly in the New Testament. Those of us who, by study of the subject, have been obliged to respect the significance of Scripture numbers will not fail to see the relationship between the seventh and the first, inaugurated by the advent of the Paschal Lamb. 7 and 1 are 8, and it is, of course, no flight of fancy that 8 is the number of a new beginning, for science confirms Gematria on this point. I build no doctrine on figures. I only indicate these features for your interest, in the same manner in which I call your attention to the further fascinating fact that the Hebrew root Pasoch, to which I have already referred, occurs in the Paschal chapter exactly 8 times. The Egyptian Passover certainly was a new beginning for the people of Israel. They had had their divine instructions. The 10th day of the month was the day appointed to select their blemishless sacrifice. See them as they subject the animal to the severest scrutiny. One defect would disqualify. Even after choice, there remained yet a period of test, for the sacrifice was not to be slaughtered at once, but exposed to full examination over a period extending from its selection on the 10th to its offering on the 14th day between the evenings, a period of 5 days in Jewish reckoning, and 5 is the number of grace. The sacrifice having been offered, the blood was taken, according to Rashi, as a ritual reception, and applied first al shtei hamezuzot, upon the 2 side posts of the door of the house, and then upon the lintel. The actions required to perform this rite would thus take the form of a cross. Avraham Ibn Ezra says, and here I quote, "The mark of blood was designed as an atonement for those within the house, and was also a sign for the destroying angel to pass by the house." That is the end of the quotation. So positively is the blood of the sacrificial lamb the symbol of divine redemption, that it became the zodiacal sign for Nisan, the first month of the year, as Nachmanides himself observes. And even in literature published in the modern State of Israel today, the lamb is used as the symbol of that month, branded with a dual key signature of the first and the seventh, Nisan. Why is this night different from all other nights? Because this pre-Levitical, special, sin-peace offering, at once the herald and basis of deliverance from bondage, was, I am convinced, gloriously symbolic of that portion of Messiah's redemptive work which was prophesied to precede the setting up in power and acclamation of the Malchut Shemayim, the kingdom of heaven on this earth. As I see it, the Messianic act must precede the Messianic acclamation, and between the act and the acclamation there is the Messianic absence. The Messianic act is symbolized by Pesach Mitzrayim, the Egyptian Passover, and the historical event is described in that portion of the Jewish scriptures known popularly as the New Testament, in which we read that the one designated therein as the Lamb of God rode into Jerusalem on the 10th Nisan, was subjected to official scrutiny, and declared without blemish by the representative of world power, Pilate. The sign of the cross, which the enslaved Israelites made in Egypt when they applied the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts and lintels, became the permanent symbol of the redemptive sacrifice he made on the cross, coincident with the Pesach celebration in Jerusalem. The Messianic absence is suggested, I believe, in the Tanakh, where deity declares, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face." Rabbi Dr. S. M. Lehrman, M.A., Ph.D., commenting on this verse, says, and here I quote, "God will withdraw into the heavens." A singular withdrawal into the heavens is sanely described in the New Testament, where we read, "He was taken up whilst they were looking at him, and a cloud swept under him and carried him out of their sight." The Messianic acclamation is best summed up in the beautiful words of the Hallel, "That stone, which then the builders threw away, has now become the cornerstone." May Israel and all the world soon cry, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai," "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Eternal." Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yosem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.